Turn in our Bibles tonight to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8, got a message for you tonight about this subject, a true assessment, a true assessment. Let's begin reading with verse 7. Verse 7. Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, "The man of God is come hither." And the king said unto Hazael, "Take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire the Lord by him, saying, 'Shall I recover of this disease?'" So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came, and stood before him, and said, "Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, 'Shall I recover from this disease?'" And Elisha said unto him, "Go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover, howbeit the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die." And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, "Why weepeth my lord?" And he answered, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with a sword, and will dash their children, and rip up their women with child." And Hazael said, "But what? Is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria." So he departed from Elisha, and came to his master, who said to him, "What said Elisha to thee?" And he answered, "He told me that thou shouldst surely recover." And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face, so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. What's going on in this passage of Scripture? Israel, up until this time, has been under Ahab's rule. Syria and Israel have been enemies. Elisha is over in Damascus. The king of Syria is sick. He knows that Elisha has the mind of God, so he sends Hazael to go and find out whether he's going to recover from the disease. He's going to recover, except Elisha says he's going to die, and then gives this horrible assessment of Hazael in verse 4 or verse 12. "I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, their young men wilt thou slay with a sword, and wilt dash their children and rip up their women with child." And Hazael is shocked by what he hears, and when he says, "But what, is thy servant a dog that he should do this great thing?" I believe he's sincere. I don't think he knew that he had it in him to be that cruel and that wicked to Israel, even though Israel and Syria are enemies. But notice, Elisha didn't just tell him the bad things that he would do. After Hazael basically said, "No way, Hosea, I'm not going to do something like that," Elisha answered in verse 13, "The Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria." And when Hazael heard that, it ignited something that was in him he didn't know was there. This ambition that was in him, this cruelty that was in him that the Lord discerned, welled up inside of him. And so when he got back to the king, and the king said, "What did Elisha say?" He told him what Elisha said. He said, "You'll surely recover." And he went to sleep that night, and the next day Hazael entered his room with a cloth that was soaked in water and spread it over his face and suffocated the king. You see, there was something in Hazael he did not know was there. And Elisha gave him a true assessment of himself. And when he heard it, he couldn't even believe it. He said, there's no way. What do you think, I'm a dog that I would do something like this? But when he realized, as young men will do sometimes in their ambition, that he one day would be king, he hastened his ascent to the throne, assassinated the king. And then when you read throughout the remainder of 2 Kings chapter 8, a couple of verses there, chapter 9, a couple of verses there, chapter 10, a verse there, and chapter 12, a couple of verses, and 13, three verses, you find out that Hazael did everything that Elisha said he would do. Elisha gave him a true assessment. You see, it was this recognition, this prophecy by God that he would ascend to the throne that ignited that thing that was in him he didn't know was there. And then boom, all the cruelty came out, starting with the assassination of the king, which if he had said, and you were going to assassinate the king as well, he really would have said, you got to be kidding, man. There's just no way. You are literally mad. And they said that about prophets anyway. Despite Hazael's unbelief, Elisha's prophecy was true and the assessment was true. He became exactly what Elisha said he would be, and even worse by killing the king. You say, okay, well, great. This is Wednesday night. So what profit do we get out of this? I'll tell you. When you read your Bible and you come across passages of Scripture, there is a work of God, if you're paying attention to what you're reading, if you are sensitive to the work of the Spirit of God in your time together with Him, where He's going to point out something in your life by what you've read. And you may be inclined to say, that doesn't apply to me. I know the person in our church that applies to, or I know the person in our family that applies to, but thank God that doesn't apply to me. You want to pay attention to that voice, because he's telling you something about yourself to prepare you for the time when whatever circumstances in your life will ignite that thing to make sure that you don't go down that road. If you're in preaching, if you are in counsel, you've gone to somebody and over the years, if you've had the opportunity to sit down with me or whatever, back in the old day, I used to try to sort out whatever somebody was coming to me for counseling with all I thought I knew about counseling. But I realized that this scripture, this is the counsel. There is no knowledge or counsel or understanding against the Lord. This is it right here. So as you've heard me say before, if you're talking to me about something, and it's good to be able to do that with a pastor, I'm praying, trying to discern what the Lord would have me to give you. There are times when I'll say to somebody in counsel, this is what your situation is based on the Bible. And they'll look at me like, preacher, that's not so. But it is so. And that's not because of me or because I'm so smart. It's because of this book. I talked with a man not too long ago, not here, a man that knows me and had called me. And I talked with this man, and he, among other things, in seeking counsel, confessed that he was very angry with his wife and that this thing he had come to talk to me about was a problem because of her. And he was seeking counsel about that. And I said to him this, before you pursue any more conversation with your wife about this matter, you go deal with your anger. You get that straightened out, because at any of us here, we all know this. If you've ever tried to encounter a problem at home when you're angry, it doesn't get better. And you usually don't say what you should have said. Am I right about it? Can I get an amen around here? Okay. We know that to be so. So that's why I told him, you go deal with your anger until you're not angry about it, and then it's going to be a lot easier for you to talk with your wife about this matter. All right, well, a couple of months passed, and then he called, and we got together again. And you know what he said? He said this. I started dealing with that anger and the bitterness that was associated with it, and he learned, you know what he said? I learned that the problem was my fault to a great degree. Now, I didn't know that was going to be the outcome of him dealing with the anger. I just thought you'll be a lot more pleasant to talk with if you're not angry. And you'll see, you'll have a better perspective. Well, he got a completely different perspective than what he expected, and that is, I have a lot to do with the problem we're experiencing. That was quite a revelation. He could see what the Lord had been trying to show him about the problem, but he didn't believe was his problem. Do you get it? He was seeing a true assessment, but he didn't realize, like Hazael didn't realize, oh, you mean I'm capable? You mean I have caused? He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it and wouldn't believe it initially, but he's got it now. And that's a great thing. So you want to always be sensitive to these things like this that come out of the Bible when you're inclined to believe there's just no way. No, there is a way. It's not going to do you any good, by the way, when you're reading your Bible to say, you know what, I know a person just like that. You know, you think you're building your bank of knowledge. Your bank of knowledge comes from the Word of God. Because when you start thinking about how this applies to the other person that you know, you're going to miss how it may apply to you or something else that's contained in the text that applies to you. I talked with a preacher one time. Again, not somebody that you know. And this preacher was going to become an associate pastor. And I happened to be with him and the guy that he was going to go work for. And I told him, as we were talking about, you know, what kind of counsel would you give to somebody that's considering this, you know, to the pastor, to the associate, potential associate. We talked about all that. And I told him in the presence of the pastor, I said, beware of ambition. That's what I said. Beware of ambition. And his reply was, well, thank God, that's one thing I'm not going to have to worry about. I said, well, generally speaking, in this role, it's something that a person needs to be aware of. So I pass it along to you. Even though you don't see how it might apply to you, it might. So just keep that in your thinking. I said, it's in you. You probably just don't see it. Well, of course, I would say he didn't believe me any more than, right, Hazael believed Elisha. Well, circumstances leading up to their association together presented some difficulties, and guess what? The thing he thought wasn't there manifested itself. And thank God at that point, because they still haven't started to work together, but how great to see it come forth. The thing is now, the person would have to acknowledge that and say, I didn't realize that was there. I need to be very careful to not let this well up and affect this relationship. Nobody in this room is perfect. And we all have those kinds of things. So they don't just go away because you acknowledge them. Sometimes what you do is you recognize, okay, there it is. But now that I know this is I'll take the counsel of the Scripture to deal with that so this thing doesn't become a problem in our relationship. You know, if Hazael had acknowledged that and go, I had no idea that level of cruelty was in my heart, then the next morning when he thought about killing the king, he might have said, you know what? The best thing for me to do is remain under this man's authority and not suffocate the guy, because if I get out now, I may end up doing all the rest of the things he said, and he did. So in your Bible reading and in preaching, which can be very profitable, and in seeking counsel, the Lord is going to show you things about yourself that you probably don't know are there, and that you wouldn't necessarily believe until you saw those things are there. And frankly, by the time you see those things that are there, they've already begun to create a lot of problems in your life and in the relationships you have with other people. So if you will let the Word of God give you a true assessment of your life, of yourself, you will see it before it ruins you or destroys a good relationship. And it'll give you an opportunity to begin to learn about it so you can deal with it in God's way. Everybody here, I'm looking around, most of you are old enough now. You've seen problem areas in your life. You've seen through preaching or through counsel or through Bible reading how the Lord addressed that problem in your life. And you have started certain processes that you've learned in the Bible to deal with those things, right? That's a good thing. I thank God for that. That's one of the blessings of eternal life we can enjoy right now. God's insight and God's power and grace to deal with what he sees so that we're living the eternal life we now possess and not having to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy it. That's a great thing. You don't want to miss those cues. You don't want to miss those instructions because they will save you heartache. Listen, everyone in here has learned through the school of hard knocks. I mean, you read that in Brother Gaddis's letter. He said, "I've made mistakes." Okay, if you're a wise man, you're going to learn from your mistakes. Okay, we have. God's trying to help us get ahead of it so it doesn't become a mistake before we learn about it. He tried to do that in Hazael's life, and Hazael said, "Nah, that's not me. You're a crazy man." But if you're a wise man, you'll say, "You know what, Lord, I heard you talking to me today, and I'm going to start addressing that before this thing blows up and becomes a problem." That's called a true assessment of yourself. And the only place you can get it is right out of the words of this book. Your own heart will deceive you if you think you can sort it out on your own without God's help. That's true. You'll see it the wrong way. But you'll see it the right way if you let God sort it out. And if you also just humble yourself to say, "You know what, Lord, you are absolutely right about me." The other day we had a guy that came over here and visited. I'll close with this. And he was remarking about how much ignorance there is among Bible believers. That was his remark. And he looked right at me like, "Do you agree?" I said, "Oh, absolutely. I see it every morning when I see myself looking at myself in the mirror." It's good to get a true assessment. I see it every day looking in the mirror. Right? There's just so much to know that we don't know, but we think we know. We don't. God knows. And what we do know, we learn from him, and he wants us to apply it correctly in our lives so we have a true assessment of us. I tell you what, it helps in all that you do if you know what he sees that you don't see. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to take a look. It's something that happened in Hazael's life when Elisha pointed out something he didn't think was there. Help us to be more responsive than Hosea was the day he heard about it, so we don't let these things ignite and become a problem, but rather help us to trust you, believe you, and trust by your grace to deal with those things so that they don't ruin our lives. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.